Good morning and welcome to Go Live Sunday.
Today we will have Joe and Will leading us into worship and Jonathan Cooper speaking.
We're so excited to be together as church family, even though we can't be together physically.
Let's go for it this morning, expecting to meet God.
So where do you sit on the scale of enthusiasm for Christmas? I'm making a conscious decision this year not to miss out because it's coming around so quickly. So I generously allowed Joe to decorate the house while I took the glory of putting the tree in its pot at its usual slightly wonky angle. Already, it's the third Sunday of Advent, which is traditionally focusing on joy. Let's read together from Luke 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." It's an incredible scene to try and imagine, isn't it? We all have seen it depicted in many different ways, from a very short, cute angel in a school nativity to a mighty warrior-like angel in artwork, and then everything in between. Let's put the image to one side for a minute and focus on the message. Do not be afraid. Well, there's a message we need to hear today. Do not be afraid. There is good news. Someone who saves has been born. And this message wasn't just for the shepherds. It was to bring joy to everyone. And this is still so powerful for us now. God says, don't be afraid. There is good news, a hope that can be found in Jesus. This message spread from a little town all around the world and continues to bring joy and hope wherever people turn to Jesus today. Here's Sally to share a bit about what that good news means to friends of ours in Kenya.
Yes, thank you. I've been involved with Emmanuel Home that was formerly known as Kenya Wege Children's Home for many, many years now. And two or three years ago, I had the privilege to go to Kenya with Pete Skinner, who's been involved even longer than I have. And it was so good to meet a lot of the young people that we've been supporting for many, many years. Some of them came to us when we were operating as a children's home, as young orphans, and it's been such a privilege to see them going through the education system to colleges and university, vocational training, and even getting jobs. So it's been such a blessing to know that we've made a real difference to these young people's lives. So I hope you enjoy this video that's coming up. It's from some of the young people that we're currently supporting and from the home manager, whose name is Linda. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
I am Alex Odhiambo. I'm 18 years old. I'm in Form 2. I thank you for supporting us during this hard time of Corona pandemic.
I am Billy Lopez. I'm a junior. I'm in Form 2. I thank you for supporting us through monthly food supplements.
I'm Maurice Jen. I'm Form 1. I'm 15 years old. I thank you for supporting us in our education.
My name is Catherine Atiene. I am 13 years old. I am Standard 5. I thank you for supporting us in our education.
I'm Linda. I'm married. I have 4 kids. I live in Polo, near Kisumu, Kenya. I have worked with the Kenya Wege Children's Home since 2012 as a social worker, but I'm currently the manager of Emmanuel Homework. As we don't have a physical home right now, the kids are staying in their rural homes. Over the years, we've had ups and downs, but I'm thankful to God because He has passed with us through all that. This work, apart from helping the kids, it has also helped me because I'm financially stable and I'm empowered. I thank you also for supporting me through my business, and I don't take it for granted. May God continue blessing you. As it is said in the book of Acts, chapter 20 verse 35 that it is more blessed to give than to receive. On the same note, your support to the kids during this corona crisis has been so helpful to our kids and their families, and we thank God for that too. Because of time, I would like to stop by saying I wish you all good health and a long life. Thank you and bye bye.
Slightly closer to home now, along with Matt H, I've really enjoyed catching up with house group leadership teams over this last week. We got to share our heart for where we feel God is leading us next year and to pray with them. But it was so encouraging too that unplanned, everyone had something really good they wanted to share with us about what God has been doing in their groups. We really can't imagine what this year would have looked like without them, not only keeping everyone connected, but continuing to grow our confidence in God as a church. If you're not in one yet, do get in touch and we'd love to find the right group for you. It's also been fantastic hearing what people are doing as part of Love Thy Neighbourhood. You can find details on the website if you're not sure what this is. But last week, one of our young people shared at their community that they'd made cookies for their neighbours, which I thought was brilliant in itself. But hearing about how it inspired someone else to do the same thing, well, that was fantastic. That's why it's so good to hear stories, isn't it? We get inspired. Here's Dave now to inspire us some more with news of four people from Welton who are dedicating a day a week in 2021 to be part of Invest.
Hi everybody, I'm excited to tell you that the Invest program is going to be happening again in 2021. For those of you who don't know what Invest is a year-long program which is tailor-made for each delegate, where each person investigates and starts to grow inside their Christian character, their leadership and their mission for their lives. And to do that, they dedicate a day a week walking alongside a mentor and explore where they think God is going to be taking them over the following period of their lives. It's a really exciting program. We see growth in everyone who attends it. And we've got 8 people who are going to be joining us from across the Southwest Baptist region starting next year. And we've got 4 people who are going to be coming from Welton Baptist as well to do it. And those 4 people are Tom Griffiths, Rachel Howe, Rich Astley and Caroline Bennett. And each of them are going to be dedicating that day a week starting from the new year. So I know that they would really appreciate your prayer. They would appreciate your support. And, you know, we should be coming around them and encouraging them and championing them on as they start to push into what God wants to do in their lives, so that we can see them grow and we can be there cheering them on. So please come around them, encourage them when you see them, send them a message, whatever it might be. And we look forward to where God is going to be taking them. So thanks for listening. And I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Dave. It's great to have something so good to be looking forward to in 2021. Let's pray together as we come to worship. Lord, we thank you again today for the good news of a Saviour, that even now you come alongside us and say we don't need to be afraid. Thank you for the deep joy you bring to our lives when we know and trust you. We pray for the staff and children at Emmanuel Home in Kenya and ask that they will continue to know your provision in every area of their lives and continue to be an encouragement to us as we see your kingdom growing through them. Thank you, Lord, for our church family here at Welton. We pray for our house group leadership teams that they would know your joy as they see their groups growing closer and more confident in who they are in you. Lord, we want to pray for Rachel, Caroline, Rich and Tom as they prepare for Invest next year. Please be in every part of their preparations and let nothing get in the way of all that you have in store for them. We come together to worship you this morning, knowing that you are with us. Amen.
Good morning. It's getting exciting now, isn't it? Getting close to Christmas and all those Christmas cards popping through your letterbox. You know, it's about 25, perhaps 30 years ago, my family, we came to Welton. And in those days, Chas Coombs was our pastor. That's, of course, Matt Coombs' dad. And I remember Chas used to run a competition every year to see if he could find the most irrelevant Christmas card, the one that had absolutely no connection at all with the Christmas story. Well, you'll be pleased to know that this year's kind of contingent hasn't disappointed. Actually, I have to be a little bit careful before we start this. I hope one or two of these are from family, and I hope they're not watching. I trust that none of these came from church people. Anyway, we'll press on anyway. There we go for the first one. There you go. You've got a reindeer wearing a face mask. Well, I suppose it's in the moment, isn't it? But it doesn't really quite tell the Christmas story. This one's a bit more festive. There you go. You've got some stockings waiting to be filled up by Santa. Yeah, that's all quite jolly, I suppose. This one I liked is one from one of my more thrifty friends. There you go. Tesco's value. What can you say? Sincerity guaranteed. Well, what can you ask? This one, you will love this one. This is really cracking. There you go. It's been a rough year. And it has, hasn't it, for many of us. But it doesn't really kind of reflect the Christmas story at all, does it? But then there was this one caught my eye. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, translated as God with us. You know, that is a proper Christmas verse, isn't it? Even if the card is a little bit cliched with the silhouette of two people in a shed-like structure and the crib and, you know, farm animals looking on. But I think that most people who would read that wouldn't realise the magnitude of the words, that fulfilment of a great prophecy that was given, 700 years before, given to Isaiah, where it says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they call him Emmanuel." Now, I must admit, I too perhaps have missed something here, seeing it more as simply one of the many prophecies that we have of Jesus, which was given in the Old Testament. But this one, and the name Emmanuel, God with us, it is really amazing. It is truly life-changing. And it's something that I had not realised until I started preparing this message. I think I completely missed the depth and beauty that resides in that name. I found this quote from John Wesley, and this was said to be his kind of favourite phrase. He'd said, "The best thing of all is God with us. The best thing of all." So a man who grew a church from 4 people to 130,000. And he described it as the best thing. Well, I thought this is something that is worth digging a little deeper. These 3 small words which say so much, God with us. Well, God, if we start with God, well, we know, I think, what we mean by God, don't we? But the phrase God with us describes the nature of Jesus. It is something far deeper and more profound. He is God. He is God who has become human, physically with us. A powerful, powerful thing. It's so easy to skip past that and assume we know the depth of what that means. But if we in any way miss the depth of that, the importance of the divinity of Jesus as a co-equal part of the Trinity, then we miss the entire basis of our salvation. And it's too big to go into here, but if this sort of thing is a trip hazard to you, you really do need to have a chat with somebody, like, you know, perhaps one of the mats. Have a chat with them and sort that out, because it's key. But this morning, what I want to do is to look more at the other 2 words in the statement, the with us in God with us, as it were, starting with the with, if you kind of see what I mean. My thinking on that as the with has always been in terms of kind of God's physical presence. And that is true, and that it does mean that, but it also means so much more than that, because there is with that, God with us is something of an intent and purpose, the with, to be with us through a journey in good times and in bad times. We so often equate bad times with like a feeling that God might have abandoned us. And you know that that's simply not true, and that's not God's promise. You see, God with us also means God in us. And we'll also be thinking a bit more about that in a moment or two. God with us also means God for us. Because if you say you're with somebody in something, that it means you're supporting them, you're cheering them on. And that's perhaps another angle of God with us. So we're going to look at those 3 ideas of with us. I'd like to illustrate the first with us by thinking a little bit about Joseph in the Old Testament. This is the fellow with his multicoloured dream coat, which was actually probably just a long coat with lots of panels in it. Sorry, Jason Donovan and all that. But let's read Genesis 39 and we'll get an idea of the story. It says this, it says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, comma, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the verse goes on then with that full long story about Joseph and all the struggles he had and his eventual rise to power. But what I would like to do is to just stop at the comma, as it were, because commas and the verse numbering in our Bibles weren't there in the original text. And so I'd like to just read it again and see if we can see a slightly different emphasis in it. So starting at verse 39 again, it says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. Now here is a man at his very, very lowest ebb, having been rejected by his brothers. They planned to kill him, for goodness sake, and then only relented at the last minute, but still sold him into slavery. It's a nice family, isn't it? I would imagine he would have had quite a few issues following this. Good candidate from some kind of therapy and a bit of counselling. But it speaks of the Lord was with Joseph. Now, I somehow doubt that if I was Joseph, I would have felt like God was with me at that moment, or at times during that white knuckle ride that followed. More rejection, false accusations, imprisonment. But God was taking him to a place of God's very much greater purpose. Now, I'm not trivialising or theologising over a battle you may be facing at the moment, abandonment or by your family or persecution. But what I'm saying is that God has not abandoned you. God's promise is for the good, even if the landscape right at the moment looks pretty bleak. You see, God cannot abandon you because he would be denying himself. The Emmanuel, the God with us, also means God in us. See, if you read Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And my life, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ in me. See, if Jesus walked into your front room right now, I think you would agree that the whole atmosphere would change. You might probably want to do a bit of tidying up, but seriously, you know, if he was in that room, you would feel there would be a difference. But the reality is, he is hidden in us, and his presence and our presence are one and the same. See, last week, Rachel spoke about being the light of the world, didn't she? And brilliant kind of illustrations of that. But the truth is, we can only be the light of the world because it is him who shines through us. See, it's interesting to note that no other religion or philosophy ever makes such a claim. No other movement implies the very presence of a living God dwelling within them. We often kind of encourage each other to bring people to church, don't we? But the reality is that we are the temple of God, that God resides in us. So when we sit next to somebody, they are effectively next to God. I know that the strength of that light is sometimes limited a little bit, and it's limited actually by us. And the closer we get to God, you know, the brighter that light will shine. It's just that we have this thing that we tend to shroud it through lots of issues about us and not getting close to God. But we can't underestimate this. Even if we're doing our best to kind of hide God within us, the intensity of his light can break out at any moment with mighty power. You know, we hear testimonies in our church of this, where God out of nowhere has done something astonishing and amazing and changed a life. We're so quick, aren't we, to kind of denigrate the power of God in us. And it can become a self kind of fulfilling prophecy, really. But God's purpose is to be revealed and glorified in us. God's desire is that we live a full life in him. And, you know, to that end, God is totally for us and positive to us. God with us is God for us. Because if you say you are for somebody, as I said before, you're supporting them, you're walking with them. You know, in Romans, it's Romans 38, 31, it says this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him for us, for all of us, how will he not also be with graciously give us all things? Sorry, I didn't read that very well. God says that he holds nothing back. Nothing is held back with him. He is working on behalf of whoever and whatever comes against us, he can overpower. But we sometimes aren't really feeling it. I don't know about you, but sometimes we don't feel it. We don't feel that God is speaking. We don't feel that he is answering our prayers. We can feel marginalised and isolated and even come to this idea that we're just some rubbish Christian and God doesn't seem to have anything more to say to us. But it's easy to start to kind of think that somehow a silence of God is a judgment upon us. But that isn't true. God does not validate us based on our performance, and he doesn't abandon us if we fall or fail a bit. Just look at Peter. I mean, Peter was an amazing character in the Bible, famously denied Jesus, then cleared off and went back to his fishing business. But Jesus was waiting on the beach once again to meet with Peter. Jesus was not there to condemn him, but he was there to restore him. You know, and Peter then went on to do the most amazing stuff. Perhaps when we feel that God is silent, he might express the same complaint about us. Because God wants to be close to us, even though we sometimes pull ourselves far away. But then I come on to the us bit, the us within, God with us. And this one is a brilliant us, I have to say. Because I think we all think we know what us means. Well, I certainly did. But I decided to do some digging to see actually what the us meant in its context from the original Greek translation in Matthew. Because I'd assumed, of course, that it just simply meant us, you know, that kind of corporate us, the us together, all of us together. But this word actually explodes religion completely and it reveals relationship. The word us is actually the plural of the word ego or I. Now, this is important because if you think about it, what it's actually saying is that God is with you and me individually, not just with a group of kind of holy people or generally with the world. But if you are feeling isolated in a crowd, in your family or even in your marriage, God Emmanuel is with you. If your parents kind of don't understand you, God does, and he is with you and he is for you. Even if you're in a prison cell, Emmanuel is not stopped by the bars. He's not hidden in a temple somewhere, but he's with you and with me. And this is not a fleeting visit. He came up and he took permanent residence. John 14, it says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another, an advocate to help you, to be with you forever. The Old Testament prophets never knew this, but we kind of somehow take it for granted that we have God in us. In itself, this is a momentous promise, isn't it? That God resides with each one of us who know him personally and permanently, forever. See, the beauty of Emmanuel is entwined in relationship, yet so often it's kind of hidden in religion. Emmanuel is God's promise to each of us, a personal statement to you, that he is with you throughout the journey, whether things are going well or badly, but with a purpose to your life. We will never forget, we must never forget, that when we fail, he will never abandon us, but will restore us when we turn back to him. But the truth of your the Emmanuel in your life, that God with us, is it a comfort blanket or is it a sword? You see, the knowledge of God with us can make us feel safe. Emmanuel can become a comfort, providing like a psychological relief, a security in a world that is full of fear and threat. But our Emmanuel said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to this earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." When the light of Jesus is seen in us and through us, there may well be turmoil. We may be called to take a risk, but our Emmanuel is our weapon, our confidence, to step forward when the cost may be potentially very high. Jesus warns us that our ministry is going to upset the social order. But speaking of God's love to somebody who is unloved is a powerful weapon. Offering to pray for somebody who is in despair of depression may just cut through that darkness. Reaching out and forgiving the bully, being next to them, may be wholly disarming. Or just putting your arm around somebody because your presence is his presence. Our sword is our confidence, our rich promises, not a comfort blanket. God's call on us is to step forward into the battle and to use the weapon that he's given us. And what better time to be bringing Emmanuel to the world around you. Mother Teresa said this: "It is Christmas every time you let God love others through you. Yes, it is Christmas every time you smile at your brother or sister and offer them your hand." God be with you. And let's pray that Jesus is seen this Christmas through each of us, for he is the reason for the season. Thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan. Hopefully I'll see some of you on Zoom at 5 o'clock for Enfest Chris Dingles. A really, really big thanks to Claire Green and the team for preparing 200 goodie bags and organising deliveries. Don't forget to book in and join us in person at one of our communities next Sunday. You'll find details on the website if you'd like to know more. And if you're new to Welton, we'd love to say hello. Do join us on Zoom in a few minutes. The link is in the chat. God bless.